Welcome to the Broadway Radio Show. I'm Donald Feltham, and we have a very special episode in the sense that we are going to delve back into the Broadway Radio Show archives, back basically one full year when Jeff Harner was here talking about his Sammy Kahn album. It's the second time around, and Jeff is back. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Donald.
And Jeff is back because he's going to be touring with a wonderful concert promoting the album. We're going to chat about that. And I thought it would be nice to do a little update in what's been happening with Jeff in terms of the Sammy Kahn album and the show he's been doing about the Sammy Kahn songs. So what's been going on?
Well, it's wonderful to be here, and I appreciate you doing this. We're very excited about the dates coming up in LA and in Palm Springs. The album came out a year ago on my 65th birthday. So I'm heading to the West Coast to celebrate my 66th birthday.
Uh-huh.
It's our first time bringing the show to California, both to Coachella Valley Rep and to Herb Alpert's Vibrato. It's our first time at that room, too.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
at both rooms. So it's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working on other projects. I mean, we did the Sammy Kahn show in New York at 54 Below, and we reprised it at Birdland. And we've had a wonderful journey with it, singing those duets with the guest stars that are on the album.
Right.
Yes, it's been lovely.
Great. And just so people know what the upcoming dates are, let me run them down for you. This particular week, after this show is beginning to air, on Tuesday, July 22nd, you will be at Vibrato, as you mentioned, which is owned by Herb Alpert. It's a lovely, fantastic venue up in the hills above Beverly Hills. It's a great location. And then on Thursday, July 24th, you will be in Cathedral City, which is right next to Palm Springs, sort of like that whole area there is kind of, as a whole, is known as Palm Springs, but it's a bunch of small cities all clustered together at the Coachella Valley Repertory Place, which is fantastic. But then you're going to be in August also. Beginning of August, you're going to be in Chicago, specifically Arlington Heights at Hey Nani, and then in St. Louis on Friday, August 8th at Blue Strawberry, right?
Yes. And one of the exciting things for Alex and I, and in conjunction with these performances, we're also teaching some classes.
Oh.
So we are doing a class up in Palm Springs that is fully booked. And we're doing one in Chicago the night before our show that's fully booked. And there's still a couple spots in our workshop in St. Louis. We do our show on the Friday night, and then the workshop is Saturday, Sunday, and then the singers do a showcase performance on the Monday. And it's just wonderful to get to travel with Alex and perform, and I'm going to say teach, but share
right.
our tools.
Well, you're sort of mentoring.
Mentoring's a good
yeah,
word.
Yeah, sort of mentoring based on all your years of experience. So what has been, in the year since the album was released, what has been the feedback been like with the album? Obviously, you're still out there performing the show, and now you've got these great concert engagements here in California and then in Chicago and St. Louis.
Yes, the album has done very well. And one of the exciting things on Tuesday night at Vibrato, Tita Kahn, Sammy's widow, has said she will be there. So I fingers are crossed. I appreciate that. That may be an effort, but she wrote right back and said, I'll be there and I'm bringing some friends. So,
That's great.
So that's the most lovely feedback. She saw the show the first time we did it 25 years ago.
Oh my God.
And she was quite funny too, because I asked the question, you know, which came first, the Rat Pack swagger or the Rat Pack lyrics? And she stood up, took the microphone from me, turned to the audience and said, Sammy's lyrics came first. He created the Rat Pack.
I wonder what will happen when you, if, are you going to do that at Vibrato?
I do ask that very same question. So we'll see.
Are you going to pause? Are you going to pause and make sure you know where she's sitting?
if she's there, I will definitely know where she's at.
That's terrific.
But that's a really, you know, to any of those tethers that I got, look at the cute dog. I got to meet Sammy, you know, briefly. And it's just I feel very lucky to be in this generation that at least overlapped a little bit with these writers from the Great American Songbook.
Right.
Golden age.
And when people come to see the show, what can they expect to kind of see and hear about SemiCon?
Well, first of all, if you are like me and didn't know the name SemiCon and instantly be able to list the songs, because he's not a Cole Porter or a George Gershwin. SemiCon had 26 Academy Award nominations. He won 4 Oscars. He won an Emmy. Everybody knows his songs. If you know the Rat Pack at all, he put more words into Frank Sinatra's mouth than any other songwriter. Mm-hmm. So you will hear songs like Come Fly With Me, Teach Me Tonight, All the Way, By Mere Vista Shamed, Call Me Irresponsible, time after time. The wonderful World War II songs that he wrote, It's Been a Long, Long Time, Saturday Night's the Loneliest Night of the Week. You'll hear all of that. One of the things very exciting for us for these 2 dates in California is that we have 3 extraordinary musicians joining us. We have Trey Henry on bass and Ed Smart on sax and Ed Smith on drums. And they're going to travel with us up to Palm Springs, uh-huh, and play both cities. So, you know, it'll be a 4-piece band and they do some backup vocals with me. And it's hopefully we pay good homage to the quality of the music.
That's terrific. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time, Jeff, to kind of jump in here and give us a little update before we delve into the archives. So we're going to kind of turn back the clock to a year ago when Jeff was here to talk about the second time around. Jeff Harner sings SemiCon. Welcome to the Broadway Radio Show. I'm Donald Feltham. And Jeff Harner is back with another new album, new-ish album, new re-album. I'm not sure what to call this one. He's had, this is his 3rd in a row album with PS Classics. The last two were 2022's The Sondheim album, which was, what was that one called? Oh, I Know Things Now. My life in Sondheim's words. And then last year, he had a Collective Sigh, which I named as the best vocalist album of 2023. It was a collection of Cy Coleman songs. And this time, he's back with Jeff Harner Sings SemiCon, the second time around, which is sort of appropriate title because it is the second time around for this album, because this is an update of a 2001 album that was originally called SemiCon All the Way, which was released and then went out of print. So kind of explain to the listeners how this album came about, because I know you had approached PS Classics with this proposal of doing 3 albums, 2 of which were brand new, and then this was supposed to be kind of a re-release of a long out-of-print album. But then it turned into a completely different project, right?
Hi, Donald. So it's so great to be here. And yes, all of that is factually on the money. The interesting thing is all I said to them was, I've got this album that we recorded 24 years ago that it's out of print and I would like to have it streaming. So could we just re-release it? And Tommy Krasger said, oh, after listening to it, he said, I think if you're open to it, we could reimagine it and we could add some new tracks and maybe take out some that maybe haven't stood the test of time as well. And I was very intrigued by that. And of course, I'm loving having duets on these albums. So I thought, well, if we're going to do that, I want to get some duets in there. And so that's what happened. We have 6 new tracks. We've taken a couple out. There are 3 duets with fabulous people, and there are several corrected pronouns. Uh-huh. And the whole thing has been reimagined and remastered and retitled SemiCon the second time around.
And it's, I have a lot of questions, because this is sort of a really unusual situation to be in, because like you said, this album was originally created more than 20 years ago, when you were obviously 20 plus years younger, and you're a totally different person now. So it's a chance to kind of go back and look at an album you recorded. So many, you were a totally different person and you were approaching songs totally differently. But first, let's start with SemiCon and what originally attracted you to SemiCon back then. Because I know this was an album that represented or was created because of the show you were doing at the time, right?
Yes, we did the show 25 years ago. It debuted at the Firebird Cafe, which is no longer there, and was very well received. And we wanted to record it. And I chose Sammy Khan because I'm always looking at the lyrics. Those really are in cabaret to me, you know, the beginning, middle, and end. They are the text. They are my script. And Sammy Khan, much like others that I have done, Cole Porter, Stephen Sondheim, Comden and Green, his lyrics run deep with heart and texture and meaning, and they are funny and witty and clever and smart. With Sammy Khan, you also get the fact that he put more lyrics into Frank Sinatra's mouth than any other songwriter. He probably defined the signature Sinatra swagger with those lyrics, creating that Rat Pack, at least the musical sound of the Rat Pack, he and Jimmy Van Heusen. So, you know, he had more Academy Award nominations than any other songwriter. He had 30. He won 4 Oscars. So that is a record that will never be repeated. Mm-hmm. And he won an Emmy for the song Love and Marriage. I mean, but he's not a household name.
Right.
You know, his songs remember,
are. I mean,
songs are.
Right. Everybody knows a Sammy Khan song. They just don't know Sammy Khan, which is so strange.
It is so strange. I don't know why that is.
Call me irresponsible. Call me unreliable. Throw in undependable too. Do my foolish alibis bore you? Well, I'm not too clever. I just adore you. Call me unpredictable. Tell me I'm impractical. Rainbows I'm inclined to pursue. Possibly mad for you. Call me irresponsible, yeah. Undeniably true. I'm irresponsibly mad for you.
But he was a character. He's really an irascible character. And he's one of the ones that, because of the timeline of my being in New York, I got to meet him and, you know, have some connection with him. Very little, but meaningful to me. So that's why Sammy Khan. And yes, it's a show that we did 45 years ago. We did when I was 40. mm-hmm. 25 years ago. And now I just turned 65. So this is now the senior citizen version. This is the ARP. This is the original cast.
Yes, exactly. Right, exactly. And so can you walk me through the steps of, I mean, now that Tawny Krasker.
Walk alone.
Yes. give me the steps of, I mean, once Tawny Krasker and Philip Chafin at PS Classics kind of came back to you and said, well, I think that we should kind of reimagine this. You don't have, there are, because the album was originally released. It's kind of an interesting story because the album was originally released on Jerome Records, which released it and then proceeded to go out of business the same year it was released, which then meant the album kind of came and then disappeared very quickly. And you don't have any master tapes. So,
no. That's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
That is interesting because the technology has just now become such that Bart McGall, our producer and engineer, was able to take a CD and actually separate tracks. I mean, it's remarkable what he did. For instance, one of the tracks, Blame My Absent-Minded Heart, it's still the original guitar, Greg Utzig from 25 years ago, but it's a new vocal.
I really wanted to break that down because I wanted to go through the steps of how did you approach this when they came back to you and said, well, let's re-look at this album and make some decisions about, we're going to cut some of the tracks from the original album because we're going to add 6 tracks. So what was the process? Did you had to listen to the old album and decide, well, what are we going to cut? And how did you make those decisions? And what new tracks we're going to add? So how did you make those decisions? And then you've got the old tracks, and how do you bring new life to the old tracks? Did you lay new instrument tracks on top of the old ones? Did you add new vocals? What did you do? Lots of questions there. Sorry.
lots of questions in there. I guess one of the first things, it sounds kind of bass backwards, but I really thought, who would I like to sing with me mm-hmm. on this album? And I thought, you know, I'd like to have 3 duets. And I thought that singing with Nicole Zoraitis, who just won the Grammy for jazz female vocalist or female jazz vocalist, would be helpful to me uh-huh. and be thrilling. And then I have always loved Clint Holmes. I mean, I'm just such a fan of his work, and he also has that jazz gene. And then, you know, on the original Sammy Kahn album, Alex, our bass player, and I sang by Mirvis Duchesne, which is a really fun thing to do in a performance. But both Alex and I thought there's an opportunity to redo that song and do something different than what the Andrews Sisters did. And we thought, who better and more exciting than the group Moipe? 3 triplets, identical triplets from Kenya, young ladies who, Mary, Marta, and Maggie, Moipe. And I first heard them at one of KT Sullivan's salon, parties mm-hmm. and, was dazzled. And I've watched their career just take off. And I just thought, what could we do with it? And I can't remember I think it was Alex who said, I wonder what by Mirvis Duchesne translates to in Swahili. Mm-hmm. So we got their mother, translated it for us. And so we now have this track that the girls and Alex really created in real time together, you know, finding the feel, the groove. They knew they wanted kind of a reggae sound because that's kind of what the Kenya beat is. We knew there was going to be an accordion in there. And then working with this phrase of Swahili in there with the Yiddish and the English. And I'm very, very excited about that track. I think it's really charming, winning. And I love performing it with the girls. They sang with me both performances that we just did at 54 Below.
Kwangu mie wapendeza, 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 kwangu mie wapendeza.
wins the Joe Grant.
Of all the girls I've known and I've known some, until I first met you I was lonesome. But when you came inside, dear, my heart grew light, and this old world seemed new to me. You're really swell, I have to admit you deserve expressions that really fit you. And so I've racked my brain trying to explain all the things that you do to me. Mr. Shane, please let me explain. By me, Mr. Shane means that you're grand.
That you're grand. By me, Mr. Shane,
again I'll explain. It means you're the fairest in the land. I could say Bella, Bella.
You can say Bumbilla.
Each language only helps me tell you how grand you are.
I've tried to explain
by me,
Mr. Shane.
So kiss me and say you'll understand.
Understand.
Understand. Quango mi e wapendeza. Each language only helps me tell you how grand you are.
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 I've tried
to explain.
By me,
Mr. Shane.
So kiss me and say you'll understand.
Understand.
Pendeza, quango mi e wapendeza, quango mi e wapendeza.
Oi, fe!
Hey, I think you're grand.
By me, Mr. Shane.
I think you're grand.
By me, Mr. Shane.
I think you're grand.
By me, Mr. Shane.
I'll go back to Nicole now. With Nicole,
yeah.
Zoraitis, on my original Sammy Kahn album, I sing Come Fly With Me, but it was an afterthought when we recorded it. It's a medley in the show of Come Fly With Me and Ain't That a Kick in the Head and The Tender Trap in the show. And we thought we didn't want a medley on the album, so let's just do Come Fly With Me. And it's something we did in real time in the studio. And I've never really thought it's memorable. So here was an opportunity to do something memorable with such a great song. And, what Alex came up with in this arrangement, I've never heard Come Fly With Me quite like that. And we gave Nicole, a whole chorus to scat. And it's just, I think, it's flying, it's soaring.
Right.
So I love that. And then with Clint, what I wanted to do is, so I'm, the change for me is my courage in owning my sexuality. Mm-hmm. So what I wanted to do is the Rat Pack swagger between two men. And he's straight, he's married to a woman. So I pitched it to him as, I'm thinking of, how about Come Dance With Me, and I Like to Lead When I Dance, as a duet. And if you don't mind, I will imagine it as it's, me flirting with you, you flirting with me. You can imagine it as we're two guys at the bar, cruising the girls or whatever you want to think. And he was like, no, let's do it. And it's just, for me, it has enough of a 21st century LGBT.
Well, it's such a fun track on the album because it's got so many layers to it, and it's so playful between the two of you, and you can see it from the perspectives of the two different men who are singing it together, that it really works. It really works really well on the album.
Oh, I'm glad you think so. It's
a very fun track.
He's just dazzling. I mean, I you know, crushed on him when he was co-hosting with Joan Rivers when she did her version of The Tonight Show on Fox. Remember? Uh-huh. She and Johnny Carson, and she had her own show, and he was her Ed McMahon. He was her sidekick, and he sang. And I, you know, and then I've just watched his career, and that he said yes. And, you know, and he came in special from Vegas to record it, and he's coming in special early. He came in early to be here to sing it live with me on Saturday night. And, you know, those are the things that I want to leave a little digital footprint, but I want to have huge joy along the way. And
right.
These three tracks are, you know, just highlights of,
right,
of 2024 for me. Just,
right. And part of the trick with an album like this is because you have a mix of new tracks that you're recording, and you have a mix of tracks that are 20 plus years old, to create a cohesive album that sounds all new, you are remastering, but you are also trying to make it all sound of a whole. Because that's one of the things that every album needs to sound of a whole. You don't want it to sound like it's tracks from 20 years ago mixed with tracks from today. So what was that process like? Because you've got, you know, your voice sounds a little bit different from 20 plus years ago to today. But it doesn't though, because from track to track, it doesn't really sound that different. Your voice has really maintained the same Jeff Harner quality. So that's why one of the questions on here that I was kind of confused about was, did you lay down any new vocals? Did you lay down new instrumentation on top of the old tracks? Did you or did you just keep everything the way it was on the old tracks?
Everything's the way it was, except I changed some pronouns. There's some hers that I changed to him, he.
Okay.
And that leads me maybe to one of the most personal new track and revision from the old track. There's a Broadway song from the 1965 flop Skyscraper, mm-hmm, called I'll Only Miss Her When I Think of Her. That's how Peter Marshall sang it on Broadway. And that's how I recorded it 25 years ago. And I sang it very much then like the Broadway version. I mean, just once through with a big ending. And I knew right away when they said they wanted to reimagine the album that was a track that either had to go or I had to redo it as I wanted to redo it as I'll Only Miss Him When I Think of Him. And it, you know, we did a demo with Sean Harkness, just guitar and voice. And then Alex had this idea to do it as a samba. And the whole project was worth it just to have that track for me. It's so true to who I am now and who I was then, but I didn't have the courage,
right,
to do it. Mm-hmm. And what Alex did with it musically and those musicians, it's a color that wasn't on the album before, and I really am very, very pleased about that.
I'll only miss him when I think of him, and I'll think of him all the time. Likely I'll spend my days hearing his turn of phrase, things I found hard to praise right now would seem sublime. The truth is, I'll only miss him when some stranger laughs, 'cause it's still his laugh my heart hears.
Maybe in time, I guess, the longing will grow the slightest bit less, and there will be moments, yes, when it disappears. I'll bet I forget him completely. Him when some stranger laughs, 'cause it's still his laugh my heart hears. Maybe in time, I guess, the longing will grow the slightest bit less, and there will be moments, yes, when it disappears. I'll bet I forget him completely in about 100 years.
The other thing that is tricky is when you, because you know how it is when you are creating an album, because now you're in a situation where you, when you're putting together any album, part of the process is not only selecting all your songs and you're taking a listener on a journey, and part of that is the sequencing of an album. And now you're taking an album that's 20 plus years old that you had already meticulously structured a certain way, and now you're pulling it all apart and trying to put it back together again. So was that tricky to get the sequencing? You're creating, because you're now creating a whole new musical piece for you, a new album. Did you find the sequencing tricky to do again? Because you had to start over again almost.
Yes. All three albums that have come out in these last 3 years are, I had Bart Magal, 13-time Grammy nominee, as producer and or engineer, and Bart is the one who came up with the sequence. And I just think it's one of the greatest gifts to have someone with that kind of expertise and fresh ears. Okay. To really be able to say, this is what the listener needs to hear next. This is the one that they need to hear next. Alex and I, you know, last year we had our Cy Coleman album, which was based on the show, and our first sequence suggestion was based on the running order of the show. And it was Bart who was like, no, this needs to come here. This needs to. And I was dazzled by that. I would never have thought of putting those tracks, but it made perfect sense. And also, he's very wise about how to layer in the duets so that there are surprises along the way. So really, there was one song that they wanted to take out, which we acquiesced to, which is a medley of I'll Never Stop Loving You, and It's Magic. Uh-huh. And which was a medley that was very dear to me, but they felt it didn't stand the test of time. Uh-huh. As well. And taking it out, they're so right. It's just the album is so much better without it. Yeah, but by and large, the sequence that Bart first suggested is the sequence you're hearing.
Yeah.
I think we moved Teach Me Tonight. That's it.
Well, because that also, I'm glad you said that in terms of something not standing the test of time, because that kind of leads into another question I had, which was going back and hearing the tracks from 20 plus years ago, I wondered if, listening to those now, if you thought to yourself, gee, you know, if I was singing that song now, being 25 years older, I don't know that I would sing that the same way now. I wouldn't interpret the song vocally the same way. I would not sing that song the same way now, because I relate to those lyrics totally differently now that I'm the age I'm at, and my life experience has changed. Was that kind of an interesting thing for you? Because I'm assuming you haven't sat down and listened to that album in God knows how many years, probably, right?
Correct. And the song that I hate to even say anything, because this is what is on the album that's for sale and
no, you...
the version of All the Way, which is the first song, those lyrics are profoundly more meaningful to me now than they were in my 40s, as they are in my 60s. And I would absolutely phrase it differently. And, it serves its purpose the way that it is. And yeah. Alex did a gorgeous orchestration, and it's just fine. But yes, that's one that I wish I could go in and redo. And then the last track, Time After Time, what we were hoping to do, a friend of mine who is a translator at the UN 25 years ago translated Time After Time into Spanish. And it's never been translated into Spanish. And at that time, we got the permission from the Sammy Kahn estate to record it. And we did do a track that's lost. But so we were trying desperately to get the permission now in 2024 to use the Spanish lyric, and we couldn't get it. And I wish that we could have had, in addition to the English language version with the arrangement Alex did 25 years ago, I wish we could have had the Spanish language version with a whole different feel.
Mm-hmm.
But that just didn't happen this time.
So right.
Maybe someday there'll be a bonus track.
What good are words I say to you? They can't convey to you what's in my heart. If you could hear instead the things I've left unsaid. Time after time, I tell myself that I'm so lucky to be loving you. So lucky to be the one you run to see in the evening when the day's through. What I know, the passing years will show. You've kept my love so young, so new. And time after time, you'll hear me say that I'm so lucky. Oh,
in some ways, it's actually kind of nice that you have the interpretation you had 25 years ago of All the Way out there, because it's still, it's a reminder of how you grow and the growth you've been through and how it's, you're changed. You're a different person.
Yes.
And it's not that what you were 25 years ago is a lesser person. It's just that you've changed. And we all go through those changes and we evolve as people. And that's documented by these tracks. But as I said, the nice thing is when you listen to the album, which of course, as my listeners know, and I am a big proponent of this, is you sit down and you listen to the album from beginning to end in one sitting. And when you listen to this album from beginning to end, it sounds like an album that is supposed to be heard all in one piece. It doesn't sound like an album that's recorded over the span of 25 years. It just doesn't. It sounds like an album that you recorded. You would never know that some of these tracks are 25 years old.
Well, that's lovely. Thank you.
I mean, it all sounds very modern. It all sounds of one piece, which is what it should sound like.
Well, it's of one arranger, so that.
Yeah. I mean, that's also right. And that's really an advantage because you do have, I mean, thank goodness you have
thank
the same
God.
Team, you know.
I mean, that's the gift of time. Alex and yeah. I have just passed 41 years of working together, and I'm just so lucky. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so anxious to get these things recorded, because I don't know how much time we have just working together. Who knows?
Right, exactly.
You know, that's the lyric. Who knows where the road will lead us? Only a fool would say.
Right.
Yeah.
And so how long did the entire process take? I'm just curious. Because did you find it to be, okay, keeping that first part of the question in mind, did you find this to be more arduous than starting from scratch with a new album? Or
no.
did you, or you didn't? Okay. So did
no.
you find it took longer than a new album or?
Oh, absolutely not. No.
Okay.
No, Bart may have spent a lot of time doing the remastering. I don't know how. Mm-hmm. He sent us samples of what the original was and then his remaster. And it's like it goes into three dimension. It's beautiful what he was able to do. But, you know, Alex and I only had to record six songs as opposed to 16.
Right.
So,
but there's a lot of decision making that you had to make.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah. But that all got done, and it was done, I think, quite succinctly. We knew what needed to be recorded on what days, and it was just the trickiest thing was just getting Clint in town in time, the printing deadline, because they were very kind to arrange the release of the album to be in conjunction with my 65th birthday.
Right.
So, this last weekend has been very exciting with the album dropping on the 26th and then my youth dropping on the 27th.
Yes. Well, it's a wonderful marker to mark your birthday.
It is
because
it's
a document of your career and your life, and shows your growth as an artist and as a human, because it shows, you know, your development as not only as a singer and an artist, but as a man. It just does.
Thank you. That is the intention. And I have certainly learned, being on this planet that long, not everybody does evolve.
Yes, that's true. That's very true.
I applaud anyone who's awake on this journey and conscious and trying to learn and grow and, you know, keep discovering. And that's, you know, these projects have, I feel like I'm still 30. Because,
well, I think,
you know, it's so joyful.
Right. And I have said that to, you know, multiple people when I have talked to them about you. And, you know, and I was telling people I was going to be interviewing you today and talking about the new album that was coming out. And they were like, well, I remember when he was performing like 20 plus years ago, or I saw him way back when doing the show here or there. And I said, you don't realize it, but I think Jeff is actually at his absolute peak right now. I said, as a performer and as an artist, I said, I just saw him because I saw you when you were here in Los Angeles just a few months ago. doing the Cy Coleman show, which was an amazing, amazing evening. But especially from the recording standpoint, these last three albums are like absolutely top-notch stuff. I mean, they're like amazingly well-done albums, beautifully curated, beautifully recorded, and vocally you're in top form. I mean, literally the best. I think they're the best things you've produced. They really are. And I mean, part of that is obviously you. Part of it is PS Classics, because Tommy and Philip really, really are superior at this. They are superior people when it comes to producing albums. And they are like a legacy to your career. They really are. And they, and you're in, you're, they are like peak stuff that you're doing right now. So you should be really proud of these three albums. And this is, and taking the fact that you're taking a 25-year-old album and reimagining it and adding it to this like trio of albums for PS Classics is amazing.
Thank you. Let me tell you about the title change. So it didn't occur to me that then we wouldn't just call it Sammy Kahn All the Way. Like, you know, it just the same title. And Tommy, we had a Zoom call and he said, you know, I went on Amazon and you can still buy Sammy Kahn All the Way. And I'm, you know, I'm very concerned that new listeners will go on and they'll buy that thinking, you know, that they're getting the new album. So he said, we really should figure out a way to retitle it. And so we were just brainstorming. And then I thought of the song the second time around. So that became one of the six new tracks.
Right.
We now had a new title track that we had.
Right.
And that was one where Alex said, oh, no, how are we going to have time to do an arrangement? I said, it doesn't need to be a big arrangement. I don't think that needs to be anything more than an intimate, you know.
And it's,
so it's anyway,
and you could not have come up with a more perfect title, because that's what this I was like, of course, that's the title of the album. I mean, it's what it is. It's the second time. It's a second time around for this album. And it's the second time around for you interpreting Sammy Kahn. That's what it is. So for you, what was the big takeaway for you personally from doing this project on a professional level and a personal level?
Oh, I'm just, well, the opportunity to work with these three guest artists, Moipe, Nicole Zoraitis, and Clint Holmes, It was astonishing for me. The fact that Alex and I are still together 41 years later and have the opportunity to do this and a label like PS Classics and Bart McGall, you know, who are encouraging us to figure out where can we make it different and grow. And that's something that I thought, let's just take the old album and put it up on streaming platforms. And the fact that people around me are saying, we can do even more. Mm-hmm. We can make it something all, you know, new and improved. And as Alex says, you know, when they were cutting songs and whatever, he's like, they still exist. We still have those tracks. So even I'll Never Stop Loving You and It's Magic, we can upload that from an old CD. So that, you know, we have recorded it and it does, my solo version of Come Fly With Me exists out there somewhere. Mm-hmm. So it just, anyway, I'm just very, very grateful that, I would just say to anyone, you know, what a lovely opportunity to take a project that you thought you had closed a door on, perhaps, and open it up and the gift of revisiting it with the gift of time.
And I know, as you mentioned, you just finished two concerts at 54 Below with
this is the first time they've given me a two-night engagement, so that's a big, it's a very big deal.
That's a big deal, including the three guest artists who were on the album, as Sally Mays and Eric Comstock also joined in
on Friday night. I know such talented people.
We have to remind people. I mean, not only are you a major performer in New York and around the country and internationally these days too. You are also a very well-known and respected and talented director for a lot of people. So a lot of people come to you to have you direct their cabaret shows because you are so gifted at that.
That keeps me on my toes.
Yes, I'm sure it does. But I also want to point out to people that you have dates coming up for the Pheasantry in London in September. Yes. And also in Boca in Florida in January. Yes. And I'm sure you have more dates that will be coming up soon.
Yes, with this show. But
with
you
this
can
show.
Also, I'll be with Andrea Marcovici at the Cabaret Convention. We're co-hosting the opening night, which is all Charles Strauss.
Oh, wow. And that's great.
It is a wow.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know, Charles is so excited about it.
How old is Charles now?
I think he's 95.
I know. I was going to say 90 something, I'm sure.
I think so.
And he's he's amazing.
He is amazing. And he, you know, they set it up so I could go over and tell him that this is what we were going to do. And he just said, "I'm so honored. I can't believe you do this. I'm so honored." It's so sweet.
he's just the best. He's like one of the nicest people in the business and just a legend, an absolute legend in musical theater. So that's so fun. So you're doing a whole evening of Strauss?
Yes. We got a great lineup.
I can only imagine. That is going to be a fun evening. Oh my God. So when is that? What dates are those? Do you know?
That is Tuesday, October 22nd is our opening night. And then Natalie Douglas is hosting a tribute to Bobby Short the second night.
Oh,
and
fun.
Then KT is doing one for a big umbrella Great American Songbook things where she has a lot of, you know, well-known talents and a lot of new discoveries.
Oh, cool. Well, and they can find all this information on your website?
On my website, jeffharnar.com.
So we'll make sure
two A's, H-A-R-N-A-R.
Yes. So I will make sure to put that on the radio show page. So and they can find your new album there also, and also directed at PS Classics, which will then shoot them over to Amazon, I believe, which is what they're doing these days. So they can find the new album, which is Jeff Harnar Sings Sammy Kahn the second time around. Not the other title, All the Way.
Well, you don't want All the Way. Definitely a collector's item.
It's a collector's item, but you don't want that one. You want the new one. So you can get these new tracks featuring this wonderful lineup of talent along with Jeff. So again, Jeff, congratulations. I can't tell you how exciting it is to get a new album every year from Jeff.
I don't know how long we can keep that.
I don't
up,
know.
Donald.
I know. I don't know that we can expect one in 2025. But I've got some ideas. I think we need a Charles Strauss album. I think a Charles Strauss album would be really good.
Wouldn't that be delicious?
I think that would be really good. Anyway, not that I'm pushing for anything, but anyway, congratulations, Jeff.
Well, I can just drop a tidbit to you. It's something I haven't even discussed with Tommy Frasker, but Shauna Hicks and I used to do a symphony concert called I Got Rhythm, Mickey and Judy's Hollywood. You know, she's the Broadway star from Blood Brothers and the national tour of How to Succeed. And we did it at Town Hall with a 35-piece orchestra, and PS Classics recorded it, and then it never was released. So I would love to do something with those recordings because they're good.
Was it a studio recording or live?
No. We recorded it live.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, I wanted to talk to Tommy about if there's anything that we can salvage that to make an album. I know there's a lot involved when it's a 35-piece orchestra and, you know, it's a whole different thing, but it's been, I guess that was 2006 that we did.
Yeah.
That.
Well, again, thank you, Jeff, for taking the time.
You're the best. I get these 3 years having these three interviews with you. It's just been a joy. Thank you.
It's always a treat. And hopefully I will see you again in person.
Hopefully lunch my next Celia Burke.
Yes, hope lunch with Celia or drinks or whatever. Next time I am in New York, we will definitely get together.
Right. Thanks so much.
Lovelier
the second time around. Just as wonderful with both feet on the ground. It's that second time you hear your love song sung. Makes you think, perhaps, that love like youth is wasted on the young. Love's more comfortable the second time you fall, like a friendly home the second time you call. Who can say what led us to this miracle we found? There are those who'll bet love comes but once, and yet I'm oh so glad we met the second time around. It's that second time you hear your love song sung. Makes you think, perhaps, that love like youth is wasted on the young. Love is more comfortable the second time fall, like a friendly home the second time you call. Who can say what led us to this miracle we found? There are those who'll bet love comes but once, and yet I'm oh so glad we met the second time.